How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Great to be with you here tonight. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti on the updates. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The phone number to reach us, Bart Winkler Show or Bart Winkler on the social media platform of your choosing. The last social media post that I would have made or reposted was from Giannis Antetokounmpo. There was a Shams interview on the Pat McAfee show where he was talking about how the Giannis situation won't be solved by the draft or even free agency. It's going to go into August.
Are you serious?
And that Giannis is still trying to see how the league shakes out before he makes a decision whether he's going to move or not.
Okay.
After that clip spread, Giannis Antetokounmpo posted on Twitter today, "Does anyone else miss Woj? He's not leaving. And the Bucks aren't trading him." I'll say it yet again. The Pacers beat the Bucks, and then they beat the Cavs, and then they beat the Knicks, and now will the Thunder be the next victim? This Thunder team is better than this Pacer team. They are a better team. Follow me with this. They are a better basketball team. The Pacers, however, they don't care. They take that away from you. You play their game. Do I think the Thunder are more talented? I do. They have the MVP. I think they're a better team. I think if the Thunder, and we saw it in the regular season, but if the Thunder had a seven-game series against every team in the league, and the Pacers had a seven-game series against every team in the league, and let's say they won. They won. The Pacers win 29 series, and the Thunder win 29 series. I think the Thunder would win games by bigger margins and win series quicker than the Pacers. But when the Pacers play the Thunder, push has to come to shove here. And right now, the Pacers with a 2-1 lead, this has gone the way that they want it to go. Look, there's going to be a game where they go down big and come back and win. And they did that. There'll be a game where, you know, they lose. They're not shooting as well. They did that. And then there'll be a game where they completely dominate the game. And that was tonight. It was a 9-point victory. So it's not like they won by 30. When I say the result was shocking, the Thunder are better. And this is why I was intrigued with this series, is because could they do it against the Thunder? We've seen the Bucks not look as good as I thought they were going to. We saw the Cavs not look as good as I thought they were going to. Even the Knicks, you know, that series could have been over quicker if Towns didn't have that big explosion in that one fourth quarter. But the Pacers dominated this game. Want to hear some fun facts? I got some fun facts for you. All right. They did a real nice job scoring off the bench. So 116 points for the Pacers. How many of those would have been bench points? Oh, the stats don't. I have to actually add that up. Okay, hold on. Let me add that up here. Looks like they had, I just saw it, 49 points. Okay, they had 49 points off the bench. All right, so in the first half, they had 30 points off the bench. 30 points in the first half for the Pacers, the most in a first half of a finals game since Rick Carlisle's Mavs had 33 against the Heat in Game 6 in 2011. So they got a lot of production off the bench. Benedict Mathurin became just the fourth player since 1997 to have 25 or more points off the bench in an NBA Finals game. Jason Terry had 27 in that aforementioned Game 6. And then Manu Ginobili did it twice against the Cavs in 2007. So Benedict Mathurin added to that list. The Pacers tonight had the third most points off the bench in an NBA Finals game since 1997. Only two teams ahead of them, the Lakers with 53 against the Heat in the bubble Game 3, and the Mavs with 54 last year in Game 4 against the Celtics. And then here's a fun one. The Pacers have not led by double digits at all in this series. They only led for 0.3 seconds in Game 1. They led sparingly at the beginning in Game 2. And they led tonight for a good chunk of the way, but never by double digits. Never by double digits. There's only been 7 other teams that did not have at least one double-digit lead through 3 games of an NBA Finals. There's only been 7 times that a team is not led by at least 10 points through the first 3 games of an NBA Finals. That'd be the 1998 Jazz, who were down 2-1 at this point. The 2002 Nets, who were down 3-0 at this point. 2007 Cavs were down 3-0. 2009 Magic were down 2-1. The 2011 Mavs were down 2-1. The 2014 Heat were down 2-1. The 2017 Cavs were down 3-1. The Pacers are up 2-1. So they've never led by more than 9 points. Yet they are the first team to be in this situation and have a lead after 3 games. And of course, the most fun fact of all is that Caitlin Clark was at the game, and the Pacers are 8-0 in the playoffs when Caitlin Clark is present. Now, I believe there's been some investigation into how many of these games she can make, and I believe she's going to be back on the court relatively soon. But she will be able to make Game 4, the Fever play at home, on Saturday. Game 4 is on Friday. Game 6 would be a problem because they are in San Francisco for a game. So she would not be able to make Game 6. So the Pacers have to wrap this thing up if they want to keep that going. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Mark Daigneault just talked to Mark, about that a minute ago and was critical of Daigneault's performance. There was a point, I think it was in the second quarter, where there was a turnover, something happened that wasn't good, and Daigneault was, clapping and just trying to still motivate his guys. But the look on his face was of, I thought, great concern. I thought he looked like, I don't know about this one tonight, my friends. This does not look like we are going to be able to beat what this team is throwing at us. Thunder were up 8 after 1. Pacers at a 40-point second quarter. Thunder came back, had the game tied, came back in the third, and then the Pacers outscored the Thunder in the fourth quarter, 32-18. One problem for the Thunder tonight was they had a problem hanging on to the basketball. 17 turnovers. Gilgeous Alexander had 6 of them. Mark Daigneault afterwards on the turnovers.
The turnovers were uncharacteristic. Obviously, we're usually pretty clean there. I give them credit. I thought they played really well. They played with great energy. They were physical. They pressured. They sustained it for much of the 48.
As I mentioned, the fourth quarter was not great. 32-18, they got outscored. He simply says they got outplayed.
they really outplayed us in the fourth. You know, give them credit. I thought we were in really good shape coming out of the third quarter. We had a 5-point lead and kind of weathered the storm of the second quarter. You know, that was a rough quarter, and we were only down whatever we were at halftime, 4 or 6, and we got control of the game coming out of the third. And then in the fourth quarter, I just thought they really outplayed us on both ends. I thought they were in character in terms of their physicality, their pressure on defense, and then they were in character in terms of their pace on offense, and they just stacked way more, you know, quality possessions in the fourth quarter than we did.
But it's not all for nothing, Daigneault, despite being down 2-1, which they have been down before in these playoffs to the Nuggets, lest you forget. They said, he said rather, that they still did some good things.
I thought we did some good things. I mean, we got off to a really good start and then got off to a really good start in the third. We really controlled the first and third quarters and had a really hard time in the second and the fourth. So we'll watch it. You know, it wasn't all bad, but we definitely have to play, you know, our style and impose our will for more of the 48 minutes if we want to come on the road and get a win.
The Pacers in this game shot 9 of 27 for 3, so it's not like those were all falling. I think this was a game where the defense really showed out for Indiana. They were all over the basketball. Again, a lot of turnovers. They had 13 steals. McConnell had 5 of them. His 15 minutes did not go to waste at all, even as the Pacers were trying to come back with a, I think it was 95-93. Caruso tries to inbound the ball right after the Pacers score, and McConnell just takes it under the basket. Like, it went right to him, and then he put it back up, and it was a tie game. So defensively, these guys were all over the place, and that's what's been impressive. I look at this the same way I look at the Cavs series, because I thought the Cavs were the best team in the East. Record-wise, they were. I thought the Thunder were the best team in the West, and record-wise, they were. But the Pacers are making these teams look bad. They are doing something. The way they are playing gets these teams out of their element or out of their rhythm, and for a while they can find it. You know, as Daigneault mentioned, there were stretches where he was pleased with the play. But Pacers, when they control the tempo and they control the game, it's almost like you're powerless to do anything against them. Very good here tonight. Again, game 4 coming up on Friday evening. Must win for the Thunder at this point. Teams that win game 3 in the NBA Finals go on to win the Finals 80% of the time coming into a game 3 where the series is split at 1-1. The big question for game 4 will be, do they continue to start Case and Wallace? The reason this is such a talking point, it's nothing to do with Case and Wallace. He's fine. He's been effective for them throughout the season. He's playing relatively the same amount of minutes that he played in the last series. Against the Grizzlies, he played 20 minutes a game. Against the Nuggets, he played 21 minutes a game. Against the Timberwolves, he was playing 26 minutes a game. This series, he's playing 27 minutes a game. He only played 24 tonight. But they're starting him. And that's not something they did in the playoffs. And his plus-minus tonight, I believe, was the lowest on the team. Minus 10. Oh, but Caruso. I was going to say maybe you could start Caruso. They were minus 15 with him out there, even though I thought he played pretty well. But you could just go back to starting Hartenstein. His minutes went down. He only played 18 minutes tonight. The Thunder have a size advantage. They can play him more. And maybe they need to up the minutes on some of these other guys. That was the thing that we thought the Pacers might need to do. They didn't do that too much. But maybe the Thunder need to do that. Maybe you need more minutes out of Holmgren. He played 35. Jalen Williams, 36. These guys weren't in foul trouble or anything. Shea played most of the game, 42. I mean, you can't ask him to do much more. Although I thought it was interesting that Carlisle said, oh, no, we got to pencil him in for 35 no matter what. They held him to 24. But the Case and Wallace starting, they made that switch before the series started. So Daigneault, because a lot of times what will happen is you feel out the other team, And then, this guy might not be as playable against this team as he is against a different team. Sometimes that happens with guards. Sometimes that happens with bigs, where you just can't play a certain type of coverage, or another team can exploit you in a way that other teams can't. We've seen that before. So teams make changes to their starting lineup and their rotations. But Daigneault tried to strike early, saying, we want to, keep up with the Pacers' pace. We don't want Halliburton and these guys to attack Hartenstein. So we're going to bring him off the bench, and we're going to start Cason Wallace. And he's not to blame for these two games, but that strategy, you wonder if it's working since they played three and lost two. And they made a change coming into the series with their starting lineup. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Robert is in Annapolis.
Here he is. Anyhow, thanks, Voices, for taking my call. Two NBA comments. I think we've now reached the point where we can quit using the word shocking to anything that the Pacers are doing. This is a perfect example. This is a perfect example of a team that peaked or is peaking at the right time. Now, how it's going to end up remains to be seen, but apparently they are a very good team. I wouldn't really know because I never watched them during the regular season, but they are just in a situation where they are peaking at the right time. I mean, they've beaten some good teams. My other NBA comment is on this Knicks coaching search. I don't know that there's something more irrelevant than Knicks hiring a coach. Sorry, Marco. Since Red Holtzman, who won two NBA championships for the Knicks back in 69 and 73, he left in 77 the first time. He came back a second time. Okay. In those 48 seasons that have come after, do you know how many coaching hires the Knicks have had? Maybe Marco could help you with this.
I know they've had a lot.
Yeah. I'll give you the number, 24. Now do the math. 48 NBA seasons, 24 coaching hires. Now some of them may have been interim, whatever that case may be. Holton was rehired. They hired some other schlub a couple times. But 24 different coaching hires in 48 NBA seasons. And the curious thing is, they actually have five coaches that are in the Hall of Fame, excluding Holtzman. He's before your time. Do you know the other four? Does Marco know who any of the other four Hall of Fame NBA coaches?
Well, Marco's not in the room right at this current.
Okay. They've had Rick Pitino, Pat Riley, Don Nelson, and Hubie Brown. So it's not as if they haven't had good coaches. But anyhow, that's my NBA comments for the night. Give that some thought. And let me give a big thank you to Glenn in New Orleans. He forgot to mention the Bardo meter, but he never forgets to mention the kid. But I want to thank him for his service to our country.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. I'm sorry. Jeff in New Orleans. Yeah. I'm sorry, Jeff. I may be dropped from number one on his list. But you know what? Curious thing. We talk about NBA drafts and NFL drafts. There was what they call the selective service draft. I turned 18 in 1970, and that was a draft where you did not want your number called early. Fortunately, I won that lottery. I think my number was like 342. Vietnam was pretty hot back in those days. But anyhow, I'm glad to say that he got out of there okay with wherever he was, and hopefully he doesn't have any issues with that. But sounds like he's in good shape, and I wish him the best. Thanks for taking my call.
Robert, thank you. In Annapolis. Yeah, Robert last year wasn't into these NBA playoffs. This year, the Pacers got them. Ratings are down, but they're up with guys like Robert. Although I will agree with Adam Silver. He said today, ratings are down with everything. But when we are on, we're the most watched TV program of the night. In the past, we couldn't even say that. There'd be more people watching, like, Home Improvement or JAG or something. Also, the quality of TV has declined quite a bit on broadcast networks, so there's not much to watch unless you're into, like, Gordon Ramsay shows or Jeopardy Masters tournament. 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. We'll hear from the Pacers side of things when we return. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Meola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Shout out to Jeff. Shout out to Reggie Miller, rocking the Mark Jackson Indiana Pacers jersey over a hoodie with the sleeves rolled up, tucked into blue jeans. Somehow it doesn't look as terrible as you think it would.
He's a clown.
I think it helps when you're tall. Maybe that's the key. I don't know how I feel that he just called the Eastern Conference. I know he's a Pacers guy. I mean, he played there, and he's, you know, I get it. Him on the broadcast is one thing, but then watching him in the stands when he was just on the broadcast, I don't know. And I've talked about it. Like, I try to justify me, but I'm different. I'm not calling a game. It's just like, it's weird. You feel betrayed in a way, even though he's straight up about it, right? He's straight up about it. Did you like the fit? Did you see his fit?
Yeah, it looks awful.
It's not just me, like, upset about the Pacers. But I don't know. You talk to other people, and I think America's rooting for Indiana in this series.
Ugh, not me. Not my America.
So why don't you like them? Your team didn't lose to them.
No, but I'm a Bulls fan. They're right next to us. It's like watching your neighbor win the lottery and you're sitting here eating tuna.
Yeah, I guess. I'm still, like, shocked that it's happening. And I think there's a thing. A lot of times I get mad when somebody emerges that I, like, never knew about. And I was like, oh, this is a great story. And I'm like, oh, I didn't have him scouted in fantasy. So I, like, get mad that he's having this great game. That's how the kind of Pacers feel. You know, you kept doubting him and doubting him and doubting him, and they keep doing it. So the further they go, the more wrong I was. And we don't like being wrong around here, do we? We don't like being wrong.
Nope.
Big bench performance from the Pacers tonight. 49. 49 points off the bench as a unit. 27 of those from Benedict Mathurin, where he was scoring. T.J. McConnell, he had 10 points of his own, but he was great as a facilitator with 5 assists and also 5 steals in this game. Very good for T.J. McConnell. Afterwards, Rick Carlisle, very proud of his guys coming off as part of that second unit.
I mean, those guys were tremendous. And T.J. just brought a will, competitive will to the game. You know, Mathurin jumped in there and immediately was aggressive and got the ball in the basket. And, you know, look, this is the kind of team that we are. You know, we need everybody to be ready. It's not always going to be exactly the same guys that are stepping up with scoring and stuff like that. But, you know, this is how we got to do it. And we got to do it as a team. And you know, we got to make it as hard as possible on them.
Indiana, credit to their fans, they wore the shirts. They wore the shirts. Just like the Thunder, they wore the shirts. It looks a lot better when you wear the shirts. They kept showing, especially in the fourth quarter when the Pacers were dominating, they kept showing the Pacers fans. There's a lot of Pacers fans that look like they could be related. Like, they just all kind of look like they, like, run a car dealership and their name is Jeff or something. I kept seeing different shots of fans, and I'm like, did I see that guy? Oh, it's a different guy. Oh, okay. They just all kind of, you know, you got that, you know, Indiana Midwest charm. Although I don't know, is Indiana Midwest? I guess they would be.
Yeah, of course they are.
Yeah, but Indiana, Indiana is a different state. Indiana, there's parts of Indiana that are the South. The South bleeds up into Indiana. But if Michigan's Midwest, is Ohio Midwest?
See, that's where I kind of have a line of demarcation. I think the western side of Ohio is Midwest, and the eastern side of Ohio is East Coast.
Ah, okay. I would say for sure Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana. Let's put Indiana in. Ohio's tough.
Missouri.
Missouri's not. They played themselves out of the Midwest.
Really? I always thought
they are not.
I always thought St. Louis was Midwest.
I don't know.
Although they do make ribs, so maybe they should get annexed to the South.
The Census Bureau describes the Midwest as all those states we mentioned, and then the Dakotas, Nebraska, and Kansas.
Nobody on planet Earth considers North and or South Dakota the Midwest.
Yeah, I'd kick those four out.
We can let Canada take them for all I care. I mean, I don't think I've ever met anybody from either of those states, period. I'm not saying that you people don't exist. I'm just saying you people quite possibly might not exist.
I think to be Midwest, you either have to touch the Mississippi or a Great Lake.
I can sign off on that.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean, like, New York's not Midwest and Pennsylvania's not Midwest. But you have to do one of those things. And Wisconsin, for what it's worth, we're bordered by a Great Lake and the mighty Mississippi. So it's pretty good terrain over here. Pretty good.
You're
pretty
also
good living.
Wisconsin.
Pretty good living. Rick Carlisle, though, on that fourth quarter performance, very proud of the guys.
I was proud of the way we bounced back from a rough ending to the third quarter. You know, that was something that could have shaken us up a lot. But the guys that went back in there to start the fourth, they kept their head down and kept competing.
Let's get to Alex. He's in Georgia, 888-710-4476. Alex.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
What's going on, man? I remember you. If you remember, you called me. I called yesterday for WWE. I'm talking about the game now.
Yeah, we did talk some WWE.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say, man, I honestly think the Pacers want it more, and I think they're going to win it this year. I don't like the Pacers. I'm a big Phoenix Suns fan, and I hate the Pacers. I really do, but they're showing out, and I really do think that they're going to win it this year. I think they want it more than OKC. I agreed with you when you said OKC is a much more better team. They really are, but I don't think they want it as bad as Indiana does.
Well, I think that might be part of it. Also, they control the game. They control the pace. Yep. They control how the other team plays. They don't give you any breathing room to bring the ball up the court. You got to worry about inbounding the basketball in third, second, first quarters of games. It's absurd. Yeah. It's almost like, why don't more teams play like this?
Exactly. And I wanted to touch base on the Giannis situation. Giannis, he's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. He's an NBA champion. He's already in the books for the Hall of Fame and whatnot. But I didn't agree when you said he won't leave the Bucks. I feel like he will eventually. He's done what he's could for Milwaukee. And nowadays, you don't have a player that's loyal, except, you know, you got your Steph Curry that's still, he's going to die a warrior. Steph Curry's going to die a warrior no matter what. And Devin Booker sticks out to me. He's going to die a son. He's going to retire a son. Four teams to me that I think Giannis could go to that would be good for him. Obviously, one of them, I think the Phoenix Suns, because, you know, they're trying to trade Kevin Durant. So I think the Phoenix Suns could pick up Giannis. I really do think Golden State would be a great place for Giannis to go to next. I don't think any team other than Golden State in L.A. or California would want to pick him up. Another team that I think sticks out that could be good for Giannis, maybe New York. Maybe the Knicks could pick him up. And last team I think that could really use him, that now, you know, I'll hang up after this, I think the Spurs could use Giannis.
If Giannis were to get dealt this year, Alex, thanks for the call. I think the teams with assets that would make sense are the Spurs, the Thunder, and the Rockets. maybe the Raptors is an outlier. The Knicks don't have it. The Suns don't have assets. But also, while I'm not guaranteeing he will finish his career with the Bucks, I am telling you he will be a Buck come opening night of the 2025-26 NBA season. I can get Ed in Chicago here. Ed, what's up?
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite of your caller. He hates Indiana, but he thinks they'll win. I love Indiana, but I think they'll lose. And here's the way I call the rest of the series. Friday night, OKC will win and tie it up 2-2. Then they'll go back to OKC. OKC will win. It'll be 3-2. They'll go back to Indiana. Indiana ties it up 3-3. OKC wins it in 7. That's the way I see it.
That would be sort of similar to what they did against the Nuggets. They've played that playbook already.
Yeah. They're a better team. And I've seen better teams down before come back and win like this. So it'd be no surprise to me. OKC's going to win this.
There was one year. Yeah, thanks, Ed. There was one year that the Warriors were down 2-1 to the Cavs. And Matthew Dellavedova was like the Curry stopper. And then I think they won every game the rest of the way in that series. Bucks were down 2-0 to the Suns. I felt like the Bucks were going to come back. So, yeah, usually the better team will win. But the Pacers did steal a game. And you can't, if it's going to be razor tight, you can't give them games. You can't let them come back from however many down they were. You can't do that. Otherwise, you will lose the series. 888-710-4ISN. We can get more into this. We've got our worst in five power rankings coming up with the MLB and more from you guys throughout the night as well. Right now, an update, it's Marco Belletti.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst in Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
It is time for our Power Rankings. In the summer, we take a look at baseball, our worst team in the league, and then our five best teams in the league. I will start with the worst team in the league. I don't know what it's going to take. Well, I do know what it's going to take. It's going to take them winning more games than the White Sox, but they're 11 games back of the 23-44 White Sox. So the 12-54 Rockies are the worst team in the league.
You suck!
Now, they did sweep the Marlins last week, but we mentioned that last week, so it no longer counts. Rockies for me.
Yeah, it's the Rockies for me also, but I want to... Oh, I'll just make it official.
You suck!
But I do want to highlight, I think, a division that might be the worst in baseball, and that's the American League West. And that's saying something, because the White Sox, they play in the Central. But you look at the AL West, Houston is the only one that's above 500. They're 37-30. And they're just basically the definition of mid right now. The run differential's plus 29. They don't really seem to be scaring anybody. It's two teams in the American League. It's the Tigers and the Yankees. Everybody else is just there. If you want to throw a special shout out to the Blue Jays, sure. Maybe the Twins. But I don't look at any real World Series contenders outside the Yanks and the Tigers. So the division is just bad overall. Seattle under 500, Angels, you know, 33-34. Rangers, I thought they would be a little bit better. They're not. And then the A's don't even have a home. So, yes, the Rockies, for me, are the worst team in baseball. But special shout-out to the AL West. You guys also stink.
You suck!
All right, I'll start at number 5 for the best team.
Number 5.
Last week, it was 5 Mets, 4 Yankees, 3 Cubs, 2 Dodgers, 1 Tigers. This week, I'm going to put the Giants in at number five. The Giants, winners of seven in a row, and just a half game back of the Dodgers in the NL West, 40-28. So, to recognize the nice streak that they've been on, I'll put the San Francisco Giants at number five. At number four.
Number four.
We'll kind of keep things how they were last week. The Yankees at number four. Look, they're a good team. They were first in my World Series pick draft before the Dodgers that you took. And they have the second best record in the American League. I will take the New York Yankees, best run differential in the American League. And by the American League, I mean all of baseball, at plus 106. So the Yankees come in at four. At number three.
Number three.
Last week it was the Cubs. This week it's going to be the Chicago Cubs. Had a bit of a West Coast trip, right? Did they do okay?
No. They lost two series back to get back, and I don't know if I can count Philadelphia as the West Coast.
Oh, by West Coast, I mean East Coast.
Yeah.
I meant East Coast. Anyway, they're three. Number two.
Number two.
Way to stick the landing there.
Is the Tigers. They were one a week ago, but I'm going to put at number one the team that usurped them for the best record in the majors at number one. The New York Mets. So I have left the Dodgers off the power rankings. If we were to do the World Series draft, I would take them again at number one, like you did yesterday. But I'm not just going to put them in when I don't think that there's a difference between who's going to win and power rankings. Power rankings mean right this second. They also don't mean anything, but they also mean a lot. So I'm not putting them in because I think they should be better than this, and I want to motivate them. Five Giants, four Yankees, three those West Coast Warriors, the Chicago Cubs, two the Tigers, and one the New York Mets.
All right, well, I'll give a spoiler here. Our top three is pretty much the same, but I want to just remind everybody, last week I had from 5-1, I had the Yankees, Dodgers, Mets, Cubs, and Tigers. I'll start at number five just like you.
Number five.
I do appreciate what the Giants have been doing. They would have been like 5.5, but since we only go to five, I'm actually still going to keep the Dodgers there because they are leading the division. I can't exactly put the Giants over LA right now. I did mention all the injuries that the Dodgers have. They have an all-star roster of pitchers that are hurt right now. I think rushing Shohei Ohtani, even if you're going to pitch him at limited capacity, Dave Roberts had talked about earlier, he doesn't need a full workload or needs to really get ramped up. I think that's a mistake. And it actually might show a little bit of desperation. And you shouldn't have to be desperate. You're the Dodgers. You'll probably get some more acquisitions in the trade deadline. People just fold to, like, run and give you players. So I think you should calm down with the Shohei stuff. Let them keep hitting. Right now, you guys would just be fine.
Number four.
I'm actually going to trade down my I said we had a top three the same. I actually lied. I'm actually bumping down the Cubs to number four. Now, they lost two series back-to-back. The last time that's happened, they went on a run. They haven't really lost that many series this year. But to losing two out of three to Philadelphia, who was supposedly dead, according to all their fans, that's something that really showed its warts in terms of their starting pitcher. They really got to get some starters that can go in a couple of innings there. But the offense will be just fine. Pete Crow Armstrong should start the All-Star game the way he's playing. He's an MVP caliber pace, 17 home runs, 21 steals. He's playing the best center field in the game as well. Michael Busch is probably the best first baseman that no one else is talking about because Freddie Freeman and Pete Alonso are both in the NL. He might be the best first baseman right after those two guys. So the Cubs at number four. At number three.
Number three.
I'm going to put the Nye Yankees here. So I'm a little high on them. Although they got a couple of injuries themselves. Trent Grisham has cooled off a little bit. Jazz Chisholm left the game with some groin tightness. So he might miss a little bit of time, especially since he just came back. That's concerning. But they're slugging it out with the best of them. You mentioned it, best run differential in baseball. Cubs got the best in the NL. Yankees got all of baseball. And Aaron Judge is a complete monster. If you look at all of his games in, like, sections, let's say 10 games blocks, he has not slumped at any point in a season. So Aaron Judge, easily your AL MVP, barring injury. And I think the Yankees, like I said, one of the only two teams in the AL that I care about. At number two.
Number two.
I will also bump down the Detroit Tigers like you. Number two, they got a whole bunch of teams in the AL Central that have been losing enough games, so that, you know, bodes well for them. They might be able to win the division in the next couple of weeks. They're all the way up to a 7-game lead. That's the largest division lead in baseball by a wide margin. And they should also have a bunch of all-stars to represent them. Tarik Skubal is most likely going to be your starter for the AL. And just like you at number one.
Number one.
I'm going to go with the New York Mets. Best record in baseball. 5-game winning streak. I keep talking about how their starters are completely doing things that no one expected. We thought starting pitching would be the Achilles heel of the team. David Peterson ranks 7th in ERA among NL qualified starters, but that's probably going to change as he threw a complete game shutout against the Nationals today. So I have 5 Dodgers, 4 Cubs, 3 Yankees, 2 Tigers, and 1 the Mets.
Those are your power rankings. We call it the worst and 5. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will hear more from the Pacers and the Thunder as the Pacers taking a 2-1 series lead tonight in the NBA Finals. And Aaron Rodgers has a new coach and a new offensive coordinator. So how will the Pittsburgh Steelers offense look in 2025? We'll discuss coming up on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.